Boker Tov, good morning. Okay, we are starting the Daf Yomi. We are in Daf Chet. Today's Daf is Daf Chet. We are at the bottom of Daf Zayin on Mudbet, page 7b. Today's class should be for the Refuah, Shleimah, V'alachanim, V'chlalam. Chem Dabar Chom Echad Nibshan, and Amelchad Nukam Nifkas, Haram Anumunir, Shalom Amisar, Adavir, Merchad, Echad, 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 Shalom Amisar, Fahim Adam, Shem Anchana, Echad, Ben Miriam, Yavadam, Nifar, Echad, 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 Ben Malka, Miriam, Echad, 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 we left off on the last four words on the page, on 7b, on Zayin Amud Bet. Amar Rav Gidel Amar Rav. We're going to see a bunch of phrases in the name of Rav Gidel and the name of Rav. So he starts out, Minayin Shenishba'in L'Kayem Et HaMitzvah. How do we know somebody can swear to fulfill a mitzvah? Shneimar, as the pasuk says in Tehilim, "Venishbati v'kayema lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha," that I swore and I will fulfill to the mitzvah, the laws or the your righteous ordinances. Let's call it like that. So over here, it sounds like he swears to fulfill the mitzvah. But the Gemara then asks a very famous question: "V'halom mushba ve'omed mar sinaihu?" But the Torah is what obligates a person from Har Sinai for a person to fulfill the mitzvah. It's not swearing. So how can you swear to fulfill a mitzvah? You're already obligated from Hashem. So Ela, it must be Hakam Hashmanan. It's coming to teach us this Shari Leila Inish Lezaruze Nafshe. A person is able to stimulate himself, to wake himself up, to want to fulfill the mitzvah by swearing. Even though he's already obligated, he can wake himself up more by just making a swear.
Was it oath mean anything?
Oh, so very good question. We have to see the halakha. Very good. V'amarav gidel amarav. He says again, ha'omer ashkim v'eshne perek zeh. If somebody says, I will wake up and I'll get up and learn this perek of Mishnah. Or eshne masechta zo. Or I will get up and learn this masechet. This morning. Somebody decided on the morning of, I want to learn masechet nedarim. They get up for daf yomi. So neder gadol nadar l'Elohei Yisrael. The Gemara says, he made a great neder for the God of Israel. So the Gemara asks again, "V'halom mushba ve'omedu," but I thought he's already sworn from Har Sinai to fulfill the mitzvah to learn Torah. We're all obligated to learn Torah. We're all obligated to learn all of Shas. Right? It's not just the Rabbanim; it's everyone. So how can you make a swear on something that you're obligated to do? So the Gemara says, "V'ein shavua chala al shavua," and one swear does not take effect on another swear. Meaning, if I have a swear from Hashem, you have to fulfill the mitzvah. You have to learn Torah. How can I swear to fulfill that? I'm already sworn to do that. And a swear does not take effect on another swear. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malan," what is it coming to teach us? "Da afilu zaruze ba'alma," even if a person just wants to stimulate themselves that they can do this, we already learned that. We just learned that in the first case. Right? "Hainu derav gidel kamaita." That was the first case of Rav Gidel. So what is it teaching us over here? Hakamash malan, it's coming to teach us, "Kevan de'ibaye patar nafshei." If a person wanted to, he could have exempted himself from the mitzvah of learning Torah, right? We know, where do we learn the mitzvah of learning Torah? So I mean, there's a few places in Shema Yisrael, we have the mitzvah of learning Torah. Also, in the first chapter of Yehoshua, it says, we have a mitzvah to delve in the Torah day and night. So they learn from this, we have a mitzvah in the morning and a mitzvah at night. But according to halakha, a person is able to exempt himself from that obligation by just saying Kriyat Shema once in the morning and saying Kriyat Shema once at night. That's the mitzvah. So even though a person could have exempted himself with that obligation, Mishum Hachi Chayel Shavua Aleh. Because of that, a person, this swear could take effect because the mitzvah at hand is only, the minimum at least, is to say Shema Yisrael in the morning, Shema Yisrael at night. You fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. So a person can make a swear, no, I have to, he swears to wake up in the morning to learn this masechet, to wake up and learn that chapter of Mishnah, so on and so forth, and his shavua would take effect. Okay, we're going to have to see afterwards if what's the halakha. So the Gemara then comes and says, Amar Rav Gidel Amar Rav, another statement. Ha'omer l'chavero, someone says to his friend, Nashkim menishne perek ze, let's wake up, let's get up, and let's learn together this perek, this chapter of Mishnah. Alav l'hashkim, he has to get up and learn it. Right, you said it, then you're going to do it the next morning. You have to do it. Shneimar's pasuk says, "Vayomer." I think it's in Yechezkel. "Vayomer elai." Hashem said to Yechezkel, "Kum tze el abikah v'sham edaber otach." go out into the Bika, the valley, and I will speak to you over there. Ve'etze el habika, ve'hine, and I went out into the valley. Yechezkel says, ve'hine sham kevod Adonai omed, and he says over there, the respect, the honor of God was standing. Hashem was over there. So what does that mean? Anything Hashem took out with his mouth, anything you say, you have to upkeep. He took out a word with his mouth. He has to fulfill that word. So even Hashem fulfilled this.
First.
Oh, very good. Hashem was there even before them. So meaning he took up Hashem. Hashem said, I will be there. And Hashem was, the Shekhinah was there before he even got there.
The friend also. Huh? He said, let's get up.
He has to get up first. Exactly. Because he said it. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Okay, Rav Yosef comes and says, now we go back to another concept that we said about yesterday. Excommunication. We said if somebody excommunicates somebody in his presence, he can annul that in his presence. But the Gemara now goes on a concept, if somebody gets excommunicated in their dream they get excommunicated, does that have any effect? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, nidu b'chalom, if somebody gets excommunicated in his dream, tzarich asara b'nei adam la'atir lo, he needs 10 people to annul it. That sounds a little bit peculiar. Not only 10 people, but they have to be talmidei chachamim that learn halacha, that teach halacha, not just people who don't know halacha, right? They have to learn Gemara, they have to learn the halacha. Aval matnu velo tanu, lo, if somebody just learns Mishnah, doesn't learn halacha, doesn't learn Gemara, no, you cannot be the one of the 10. Ve'ileika, and if there aren't 10 of these people, the tanu hilcheta that learn, that teach halacha, afilu matnu, even those who learn and teach Mishnah, that's enough as well. Velo tanu. And even if they don't learn halacha, like when it says ve'i leika, and if you don't even have 10 of those people, lizil ve'leitiv parashat derechim, you should go and sit on the road, and ve'ahiv shlama lebei asara, you should show shalom to 10 people, meaning when you see groups of 10 passing by, you should show them shalom. Ad demikal ele asara degamri halcheta, until you find 10 people that come to you. That learn halacha, that are baki in halacha, that can annul your nidui. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, yada man shamtei mahu. What if you know who the person was that excommunicated you in your dream? Can you go to them afterwards and say, hey, can you annul my thing? It's actually very interesting. Somebody once reached out to me and they sent me a Venmo. And I hadn't spoken to the person in a couple of years. And I texted him and said, why'd you send me a Venmo? So they said, I had a dream that I owed you money. Are they obligated to pay? So I returned the money on Venmo and I wrote in, you have to write a caption. So I wrote in the caption, Chalomot lo ma'alim lo maridin. That's how I responded. And he tried to send it back and I said, Zelo min adin. Right? So according to halakha, person, the dreams are not halakhic thing. But the Gemara is saying, can you go find the person that excommunicated in your dream to annul your vow, annul your excommunication? Amar le, l'shamute shavyu ha-shaliach l'mishrei le, lo shavyu ha-shaliach. The messenger in Shamayim, he came and excommunicated you. He was sent to excommunicate you, but he's not sent to come and annul that excommunication. Meaning, he was only a messenger for you in heaven, in your dream, to come and excommunicate you, but you can't go to him and annul that excommunication. So Amar le Ravacha le Ravashi. So Ravacha says to Ravashi, Shamte v'sharu le bechelme mai. What happens if they excommunicated him in his dream, and they permitted him back in his dream? It was all in his dream. Can he go free now? Or perhaps because they excommunicated him, we say that no, he's excommunicated. So Amar le, he said, Keshem she iefshar le bar below tevin. Just like it's impossible to have grain without chaff mixed within it. Right, the chaff is whenever they, within Masechet Shabbat, when you learn the Melacha, when they would winnow with the Zoreh and everything, they would get rid of the chaff. So kach, so too, flipping the Amud, I afshar lechalom belo dvarim betelim. It's impossible to have a dream without things that are shtuyot. Things that make no sense. Meaning, what is he trying to say? So the Mefaresh, exactly, the Mefaresh explains over here, putting him into excommunication in the dream, that's real. But the permitting him part, that we probably think is not so real, and so therefore he's still in excommunication. That's what the way my Faresh explains. But a simple question over here is, why don't you just say the whole dream is batel? Meaning, if you're going to say it's impossible to have a dream without dvarim betelim, or say the other part was batel, say him being put in excommunication is batel, and taken out is not, or whatever. I'm just saying, why do you have to, anyhow.
Your subconscious wants
it out. I guess, okay. Ravina havala nidra lidvitu. Ravina, his wife had a a neder. Ata lekamein de Ravashi. So she came in front of, or he came in front of Ravashi to ask, Amar le bal maushi aseh shaleh hacharatat ishto. Can a husband become the messenger for his wife regarding the wife's to regret the neder to a chacham or to a table of three talmidei chachamim in order to annul her vow? Can the husband be a mashaliach on her behalf? That's the question over here. So the Gemara says, the way the Ran explains it over here, that even though ishto kegufo, that a man is like his wife, their one body is the same, maybe over here, we're going to see that maybe, let's first see the answer and then I'll explain the Ran. So the Gemara explains the answer, amar lei, i mechanfin, in ilolo, if they are already assembled, the talmidei chachamim were already assembled at the time, then yeah, you can go and be her shaliach. But if not, then you can't go and assemble them to begin with. So the Ran explains, we only say ishto kegufo in general, but over here the chachamim did not want to be lenient with regards to the husband, only in a situation where the people were already assembled, the talmidei chachamim were already assembled. That's what the Ran says. Okay, shma minatlat. We learn three things from here. Shema mina, we learn number one, Baal na'asa shaliach acharatat ishto. A husband can be the messenger for the regretting of her vows. If she made a vow, the husband can go and be the messenger to the talmidei chachamim and annul the vow and regret it for her. Ushma mina, lo shari lemishrei nidra be'atrad rabbe. And the second thing we learn here is, why didn't Ravina just annul the vow himself? Why did he have to go to another talmid chacham in order to annul the vow? So we learn a second thing, that you're not allowed to annul somebody's vow in a place where your rabbi is present. Rav Ashi was Ravina's Rebbe. So he had to go to Rav Ashi to ask permission. Ushma Menan, the third thing we learn is ki mechanfin shapir dame, that only whenever the talmidei chachamim were already gathered, over there do we say that he can annul her vow, he can go and be her shaliach, but otherwise he can't go and gather people from to begin with.
What's the understanding? You are matriach then?
Saying, since the person himself should be the one who took the vow, should be there, so therefore we're not going to let you go out of the way and bring in talmidei chachamim. Once you go to that extent, just bring the noder themselves. Okay? The Gemara then continues. Vishamta afilu be'atrad rabbe. And shamta, which is the lower level of excommunication, we said, even when your Rebbe is present, you can annul that excommunication. V'yachid mumche sharei shamta. And even an individual who is a mumche, who is an expert, is able to annul such a vow. Right? For nidui, you need 10 people. For shamta, even one individual who is a mumche, the way the Mefaresh explains, can annul that type of excommunication. Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Zavid. Rabbi Shimon, son of Zavid, said, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Tavla. Says in the name of Amar bi Elazar, in the name of Amar bi Chanina, in the name of Amar bi Miyasha Mishmei, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli. My dichtiv, what does the Pasuk say? You see, it always states in the name of somebody else, because the Gemara Megillah says that anyone who says the name of something that you heard in the name of someone else, Mevi Geulah La'olam, you bring the redemption, you bring Mashiach to the world. Right? So the Gemara says, my dichtiv, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, in Malachi, V'zarecha lachem yirei shemi, that the sun will shine for the people who have fear of my name. So, elu bnei adam shehen yera'in lohasi shem shamayin levatala. These are the people who fear to use Hashem's name in vain. They're very careful with their barachot. They make sure they don't say Hashem's name in vain. Shemesh sedaka umarpe. What does that part of the pasuk mean? So, amar ba'esh mamina charga di yomam masay. That the sun, the dust of the sun, heals people. The dust of the sun heals people. And I guess maybe there's some science behind it also, that the sun gives off the vitamin D and it's very good for the person. If a person, sometimes you're feeling weak, you should probably go stand in the sun a little bit. So that's part of this Gemara.
Dust means the rays, I mean, what dust?
Yeah, I guess something here. The Rashi says, Zihara de Shimsha, meaning like the rays of the sun that come off from the sun, those are what gives off healing. Upliga der bishumim en Lakish, and this disagrees with the opinion of Rish Lakish. The Amar, that he says, Ein gehinam la'olam haba. There is no hell in the world to come. What does that mean? The Rishaim are off the hook? Yeah? So the Ran over here says, yeah, let's read the Ran inside, it's a beautiful Ran. The Ran says, Ein gehinam latid lavo, it's the last Ran. Lav la'achar mita kamar. It's not talking about after their death. after the Rishaim die, for sure they go to Geinam. Tivadaika Geinam the Rishaim. For sure there's Geinam for the wicked people. Ela la'atid lavo, in the future, la'achar tichad ha'metim, after the resurrection of the dead, ka'amar is what it's talking about, that there's no Geinam anymore. Ela, what is there? Go back to the Gemara. Ela ha'kadosh baruch hu motzi chama min artika. Hashem brings out his son after the resurrection of the dead. Tzadikim mitrapina ba. The tzadikim get healed from the sun. Urishaim din donin ba. And the wicked people get judged by the sun. They get burned by the sun. Shneimar v'zarecha lachem yirei shemi shemesh v'gomer. That the people who fear my name, it will shine on them. Velo od ela shemit adnin ba. And not only that, but they will enjoy it so much. It'll be such an enjoyment for them, the sun. You know, when it's like such beautiful weather outside, it's such an enjoyment just to stand in the sun for a couple of minutes. It'll feel like that's a one little portion of Olam Haba after the resurrection of the dead. Shneimar's pasuk says ve'atzatem upashtem ke'aglim marbek, that they went out and they flourished like calves. That's what it'll feel like. Varishaim nidonin ba, and the wicked people get judged by it. Shneimar, the pasuk says, and also in Malachi, it says that a day will come like burning like an oven. Meaning, after the resurrection of the dead, the wicked people will still be judged, but will be judged by the sun, not necessarily in Gehenna. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll do a quick 1 minute recap. We started on Zion Amud Bet. We started out by talking about case of Shavua ala Shavua. If a person is allowed to make a swear on something that's already obligated in a mitzvah, right? So we brought two cases, and we said that really the first case was teaching us that you can't do that, so what is it doing? It's coming to stimulate yourself to wake up for the mitzvah. And then the second one was saying that if a person says, I'll go and learn, he swears to go and learn, he's obligated to say Kriyat Shema Shacharit and Arvit. So it just also, it wakes him up, stimulates him to make sure, or takes upon himself this vow, that not only Shema you have to say, rather you would have to say more if he took a vow. The second part of the daf was a question about if somebody had excommunication in his dream. So if you had excommunication in the dream, it's a very chamur. So the Gemara says you have to go and find 10 people, 10 talmidei chachamim, that to be able to annul that nidui.
That's why we need 10 people, by the way, for hatarat nedarim.
Very good, very good, very good. Right, so some people do. We do 3, but so that's for nidui. For a shamta, for the lower level excommunication, you only need 1. And then we said a case: what happens if he got excommunicated and he got permitted in his dream? So we'd say that maybe no, only the excommunication is real, and maybe the annulling, the freeing part, is really not real, right? Then as we flip the amud, the part 3 of the daf was really talking about if a husband can become ishaliach for his wife of charatat ishto, regretting her vows. Right, and we said that yes, as long as they're Tamidei Chachamim already gathered, but you can't go out and gather them. And then the fourth part of the daf is really about La'atid Lavo in the future, which is not necessarily referring to the world to come, but it's more so, or, I mean, depending on how you look on it, but it's referring to after the resurrection of the dead. So there is Gehinam for the Rishayim, but after the resurrection of the dead, there's no more Gehinam. It becomes just Hashem bringing out His Son. Whatever this means, this could be a very deep idea, not necessarily Kipshuto, but Kipshuto, let's just explain it. Hashem brings out His Son, the Tzadikim get healed by the Son, and the Rishayim get judged by the Son. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen.